today on Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler explains TDBH, and Jimmy explains online dating.
Welcome, one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome Toyotas are at diesel brodozer events, then this is the podcast for you. I am your host today, Tyler. Sitting here on the other side of the Snail Trail studio is the one, the only, Mr. Jet.
I was like, where is he going to go with this?
Jimmy, how are you, bud?
I'm doing excellent.
Excelente.
Excelente.
What is excellent in German? We need Constantine. Constantine. What is excellent in German?
Yeah.
Email in.
Da. No, that's Russian.
Oh, dang it. Nice. So, you're doing good?
Yeah, life is well. It's we've had some busy times here at around the Snail Trail shop lately, but things are going good.
Nice.
Projects are getting done, and things are moving forward.
How are those gift box projects?
They are finished.
They're finished?
They are done.
Nice. They're all shipped out?
They are out, and I'm hoping they're in the select few hands already.
The chosen few. You are the chosen
Hopefully they
ones.
Have them already.
Hopefully.
With the minus of one or two that are pretty far away.
But. Yeah. Our good guy over in NZ land.
Yeah, we had somebody sign up from New Zealand. Oh, we didn't realize that when we started.
There's been a few things where we're like, oh, we didn't think of that happening.
Oh, we didn't think about people actually probably changing their address or moving in the meantime or somebody wanting a gift box that happens to be on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna have to figure that one out in the future here. So.
Yeah,
I hope you enjoy your gift box over there in New Zealand land.
That one's on us.
Yep. we'll get in contact with you later about that. Because we're gonna have to change that up because that is like literally it's like $80-$90 in shipping to get you your box. So we'll shoot you an email. Watch your email. watch for something from one of us. So other than that, should we announce it or do you want to just wait one more week just to make sure that everybody has them?
Let's wait till Monday.
Okay. We'll put it out on Monday's episode. So a few more days here until everybody gets to hear what's in the gift boxes.
Mm-hmm.
We may end up shooting a video and doing it on Instagram or putting it up on YouTube. It'll be a short, sweet, cheesy video of what's in the gift boxes. So look for that on the Instagram story, on the IG story for Snail Trail 4x4. I might just kind of do my own thing and show the video as well, but it won't be like an official one. It'll just be walking through the box, just showing it real
quick
on mine. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how.
I don't know how we're going to do it yet.
Yeah.
We're not sure how we're going to announce it yet. So be on the lookout, though. Something will be announced. It'll definitely come out on Monday's episode and maybe before then. So.
Yeah. I mean, we got tons of footage. We got tons of photos.
Yeah.
We'll see how we roll it out.
Yep. We may end up just kind of putting a massive sky projector up in the sky and projecting on clouds.
There you go. I mean, we want people to, I want it to be a surprise. I want them to see it first before we release it anywhere on social media. So let's, before we announce anything or show anything, let's give it a little bit more time to get out there. I'm hoping everybody's super happy. I know I am
impatient.
Too.
I'm impatient.
You know, I want to show it off. I want to talk about it. And, you know, we'll do that in a later episode later this week so that we know everybody's got it and, and happy and, writing us love letters or whatnot. So we'll see.
I want love letters.
Yeah.
Give me love letters. I need to feel the affection. I'm needy. I'm a high maintenance podcast host.
Yes, I noticed.
All right. So cool. Gift boxes are out.
Yep.
They're done.
And also coming up soon is what's happening is we're going to close the gift box tier.
Oh, that's right. We only have like a week today. If you're listening to this into your ear holes, it is the 24th. If you're listening on the day it's releasing, you might be listening it on, October 10th of 2022, and in which case you're 2 years too late to get in on this gift box, the next
yes.
one. But yeah, we're closing the gift box at the end of October, so you only have about a week here. A week, actually, exactly, from the day this comes out until it closes. So
yeah, so if you want to get into the next gift box round, change your pledge or go and sign up. And, you know, we're excited. We've had a lot of people. Almost everybody that has been signing up this month has been into that tier. I think
we've had a few people that's jumped up from other tiers into the gift box one. So it's really cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's cool to see that you guys actually want that. So that's the feedback we get. And we're like, this is awesome. So,
and we're happy because now we can go off and ask for better deals.
Yes.
And for the most part, you know, we had around 13 or so people in this last round. And, you know, you can get like, hey, we got plus 10 people interested in something. But now, when, you know, if we are up to, you know, 20 people, or I don't know where we're at, but if we're up there pretty high, we can ask for a bigger, steeper discount. And so that means we can produce
get
more items for you, or bigger discounts for you guys, and create more money is what we say about that. But
you know, what we do here at Snail Trail 4x4. We create money for you guys.
There you go. So yeah, so that's it. That'll be fun for the next go around to be able to see what we can acquire.
I hear we can go over to Chris's house and just look into his couch and find like 50s and 100s. We can create money that way.
Yeah, from what I've been hearing on their podcast on the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast, is pretty much I can dig in his backyard and find a like coffee can.
Oh, that's right. Coffee cans of like thousands of dollars in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe we do that and then our just gift box next time coming around. It's like a new
sponsored
car.
By Chris. Yay.
You get a Jeep and you get a Jeep. Oh, wait. You get a Toyota. Yeah,
there we go. Oh, man. Yeah. So, good times. But yeah, if you have not listened to our brother and sister podcast, go check them out as well. So, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, Jason and Chris over there, the sisters in San Jose. What were they called? The
geriatric.
I mean, yes, somebody did call them that as well. But, no, what Sherpa called them, the Booze Brothers, Bay Area Booze Brothers, something like that. I don't remember what it was. We can call them the geriatric Booze Sisters, though. We can just go that way.
Yeah.
They're going to hate us.
They don't already?
I know, right? We already drive Toyotas, so they don't like us already. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our brother podcast as well, Mike and Max Off-Road Show. They do a lot of really cool stuff, a lot of just fun banter, a lot of trips. They have a really fun segment of their podcast called Just the Tip. And that's all I'm going to tell you guys. So you have to go and listen to figure out what Just the Tip is all about. So
there you go. Yes, it's a fun one.
It is definitely fun.
And it's, by the way, it's the Mike and Max Off-Road Podcast, not Mike
and
Max
Off-Road Show.
Yeah.
So Mike and Max Off-Road Podcast. Mike and Max's.
Max's.
Apostrophe S. Yeah. Mike and Max's Off-Road Podcast. Oh, look, they even have a little E next to their podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Look at us all earning our fucking E ratings.
There we go. Just acquired that one.
Yay. Oh, man. So, yeah, check those guys out. They're a lot of fun. Both of those podcasts are a lot of fun. So, you guys are actually going to get to meet up in SEMA.
Yeah. And so, in a week.
Like 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
1 week, something, 2 weeks? Yeah. A week and a half, I think. Yeah, so
something close. Yeah. Well, Max, I don't believe, is going.
Well, see, Max and I are going to go snow wheeling somewhere.
Yeah, that's
while you guys all go to SEMA. So.
Right. Yeah. And then Mike, Jason, and Chris, Kobe, maybe one of our buddy Brennan's riders.
Mm-hmm. One of the Trail 4R riders. That'll be really cool.
Also, his name is Max.
Uh-oh. That's confusing.
Yeah. So, he might be joining us also. And then we're...
I would say Toyota Max, but Max from Mike and Max also is a closet Toyota person. So
true.
I can't distinguish.
Forerunner Max.
Forerunner Max. There we go. That works.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all going to be headed down that way. I don't know when Forerunner Max is going to show up. He was saying, actually, he might come down on... do a Wednesday Thursday event, and we're actually taking off on Thursday, so I'm not sure how much we're going to be able to hang out with him.
Okay.
And he was just going to come down for like 2 days and run the gauntlet of the show and go see as much as he possibly can. Like,
good luck.
Yes, 24 hour run, you know. Where yeah, the rest of us are, I think we're arriving on Monday evening and we're going to get there early on Tuesday. And, you know, we're going to do full Tuesday, full Wednesday, and then we're taking off later on Friday. So, or okay. on Thursday, excuse me.
Later Thursday.
Yeah.
Did, cause I know, Greg, Mr. Bakken, Mr. Bomb, said that him and Forrest were going to try and go. Did they ever get back in contact with you?
No, they never, we never,
coordinating?
Nothing was followed up after that.
Greg. I don't, well, actually, I don't know if he listens to the podcast. He watches the podcast, the YouTube ones.
Yeah.
I don't know if he listens to the Thursday episodes.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I know that we were talking. I think he said he was out, if I'm thinking back to it.
Okay.
Because we were looking at locations. He was actually looking at locations with me.
Yeah.
And for a little bit. And he was like, this is where we normally stay, and it's booked up. And then I think he just sort of dropped it after that because he, like, his normal spot wasn't there, and it's too close, and he needed to apply. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
So.
Well, cool. Greg, Forrest, if you guys are listening, shoot us an email, shoot us a message on Instagram or something. Let us know if you guys are still interested in going so that Jimmy can get coordinated with you. So
yeah, maybe we can meet up.
Go
see some peeps together.
Yep.
I've already lined up a few interviews, too.
Nice.
Well, I mean, maybe not interviews, but I'm going to be meeting with other companies. I'm definitely meeting with Gear Wrench. I'm meeting with them on Tuesday.
Nice. That's good one. Big one we need to talk to.
Yeah. I'm going to try and meet up with KC Lights.
Nice.
Because they're friends, sort of friends of friends. So that'll just be kind of neat to get in front of them. I've been talking to Brendolin.
I think it's Brendolin, yeah.
Brendolin.
Yeah.
From Yoda Mafia.
Nice.
And he's going to be there. He's not, they don't have a booth or anything, but hopefully I can just say, like, where you at? Let's shake hands. Let's say hi.
Say hi, yeah.
And then I've been talking to some other YouTubers that are, might be in the area, be around. I was talking to Max Powell. He said he might be interested. He might be going. And I said, well, if you do, let me know. It'd be good to say hi.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to Jesse Rizzo, who I believe he's going. So nice. I might try to meet up with him. So yeah. And then I was talking to Wheel Every Weekend. Thank you. And they're not going, but really? I might go meet up with them after SEMA.
Okay. Shoot by their place.
Yeah. Go by their garage and say hi and, you know, and shoot some
video
they're
working
in their
job.
See what they're working on. Maybe have them build rock sliders for Charlotte or something.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun. That sounds like a fun, fulfilling trip.
Yeah. And that's only touching the tip of the iceberg, right? I mean, you know, who knows where I'm going to end up or who I'm going to be talking to at these events, you know, and like a lot of the big name companies are going to be there and I'll be walking around and, you know, getting to see them and talk to them and things like that. And, you know, I've just mocked up some business cards and I just was talking to the person we speak to for Gear Wrench and she was like, bring your media kit. You know, we'd like to show that off. And I'm like, oh, that's a good suggestion.
Yeah. Bring a bunch of those copies of those.
And so that would be good for, you know, and it's like, this is my first time going. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to learn like as a, you know, as somewhat of a celebrity in a way, like what do I bring to show off? Try to talk to companies with, you know,
are you going
to
try and do any interviews or recordings or?
I don't know. You and I need to talk about that and figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it.
You know, CJ probably has a good idea.
So
I was thinking about just miking into my phone.
You could. I have a microphone and plug that'll go right into your microphone or into your phone. So you can do that, record the audio on your phone.
The thing is, it's so loud.
That's the big issue is it's going to be very loud.
We're going to have to find some vehicle to jump into to do the interview.
Either that or there's short throw microphones that only pick up sound from like 4 or 5 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
So we might be able to grab one of those and see how those do some testing with it.
I did get the media pass, so I was going to bring a camera in and, you know, for the most part, it's like, I'm just really going to be able to shoot B-roll.
Yeah.
You know, I'm probably not going to be, unless I have somehow hook up a mic, like one on a cable to the guy that can hold it and it's a short throw, then maybe the guy can talk about what he's got, you know, or what they have, you know, but otherwise I can't have my shotgun mic on my camera that I have normally because that'll pick up
everything.
Yeah. It'll just be this loud noise with the guy talking in the background.
Yeah. We'll have to look into that. We need to figure that out soon. Yeah. So, another cool thing coming up other than SEMA is that we're going to have a big change to the show. A big addition. I don't want to say a change. An addition to the show coming up November 1st.
Oh, yeah?
So
what are we doing?
You know.
Well, I know that November 1st is we're going to, I'm going to be down at Turf and Surf down in Pismo.
Okay. So we have that.
Yes.
Well, that's not really a big change. That's
no,
just
that's
be a fun
an event that I'm going out to. So if anybody's out there, I'm probably leaving on the 2nd, though. So I'm only going to be out there Friday and part of Saturday.
Okay. That's fine. That'll be fun. So if you're down at Surf and Turf, plan on going by if you're in the area and finding... Are you going to be in Charlotte or Bobcat?
I'll probably be in Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah.
So find Charlotte. You'll have the rooftop tent and a gray stock Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go down to Surf and Turf, say hi to Jimmy, ask for stickers. He'll have some stickers there.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be announcing the Tailgater Tire Table giveaway.
Right.
The first week of November there. And then we have another addition to the show that apparently Jimmy's not figuring out. So that's all I can say. I'm just teasing it right now. Teasing you guys. Teasing. Because that's what I do. I tease.
I have an idea.
You have an idea?
Uh-huh.
Well, keep your ideas to yourself for now.
Okay.
So, yeah,
I am just giving a little confused about this.
No, we'll also be announcing Jim's Month, what the giveaway for Jim's Month is.
Okay, well, that was my idea. I don't know.
Nope. Okay, cool. Then I will tell you off air.
There we go. Okay,
and the rest of you will just have to figure it out the first episode of November. We may end up actually launching it on October 31st, which is the next week's episode, the Thursday there, which is last day of October, but
which will be a fun episode too.
That'll be a fun episode.
We have
as well.
Some fun spooky things.
That's all we can say.
Yes.
So that'll be fun. Watch out, we have some fun additions coming, changes. So hope you guys enjoy them all. Let us know what you think. And then I guess other than that, any other updates?
Nothing. No, not really. I think we're good to jump into the chaos of my weekend from a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had a busy weekend because I was trying to get you to go wheeling and you were like, no, I got to do this and this and this and this and this.
Oh,
and I was
man.
Like, well, what about this? And you're like, I can't fit that in as well. And you ended up fitting it in anyways. So,
yeah.
How was your weekend? Because I had a great weekend. If you listened to last week's episode, how did that turn out? Cause I'm curious how you fit it all in.
It was chaos.
Yeah.
I didn't fit it all in.
Oh, you didn't.
Well, let's say, well, everything that I had available to do, I didn't fit in.
Okay.
Let's go down the line of what kind of I was, what was going on.
Well, so your trick is that you plan all these things and don't commit to any of them.
Right.
So that you don't have to go.
Yeah.
You kind of pick and choose what you want as the time comes
sure.
along.
Sure. Yep.
So that's the trick I need to learn. So, okay, what were the things you had available?
Okay. So what was on the calendar, in essence, with a bunch of question marks by it?
Okay.
There was a show and shine up at Dry Diggins Distillery, which is where, which was a Rubicon Trail Foundation event going on.
Okay.
And it was Bring Your Rigs Out, Show It Off.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Truck Mania event that was happening at the Sacramento Raceway, which was a huge, like, a bunch of full-size vehicles were out and showing off their rigs and things of that nature.
Yep.
There was a Sacramento Republic soccer game going on in the evening.
Okay.
There was a celebrity that I enjoy, a comedian celebrity that I enjoy, that was on a TV show a long time ago called Three Sheets. His name is Zane Lamfrey. He was, he's just a hilarious guy. Three Sheets was a great, funny, hilarious TV show, about him going around to different countries around the world and drinking and getting drunk on the local flavors.
Nice.
And then the next morning waking up hungover. Usually. And then going and trying to find the local hangover cure of that country. Which to me sounds like, why didn't I invent this?
Yeah,
this
seriously.
Is a great idea. And then he's tried a few other things since then, but is kind of a... he's now running a clothing line. And so he's coming into town. And he was coming to a Sacramento, going to a bar, and it was a fundraiser for his clothing line.
Nice.
And he was just showing up and a certain amount of the proceeds were going to him. And it was funny because he was in Sacramento for one evening.
Mm-hmm.
The day before he went to, Friday he went to Monterey in the morning and then he was going to San Francisco in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then Saturday he was just in Sacramento, and then the next day he was hitting like Redding in the morning and then somewhere up in Oregon in the afternoon. And Friday during the day in Monterey, he had like, on Facebook, it shows like how many people are interested in the event, right? Friday morning, or in the Friday lunchtime in Monterey, he had like 58 people attending.
Okay.
In the San Francisco event, he had like 128 people attending. In the Sacramento event, he had 711 people.
Holy crap.
That RSVP'd.
Why is he so much bigger in Sacramento?
I have no idea. And then it went back down to like 200 and like 100 or something. I don't know what it was. I sent him a little thing on Instagram and I was like, dude, you need like three more stops in Sacramento.
Yeah, seriously. Jeez.
I don't know what it was. But yeah, so there was that. And then
I do know that Sacramentans, Sacramentoans, Sacramento people, Sacramentans, they are all about what goes on at breweries.
Yeah.
Like the brewery scene is like, we have a ton of breweries in Sacramento.
We have a ton of breweries in Sac, and but we don't have as many as like Southern California. I mean, Southern California is like a mecca. Like
that's
San Diego area.
It is a mecca, but I think that, I don't know about this, the quote-unquote scene, but it seems like going to events at breweries is the big thing to do.
Yeah, right.
In Sacramento.
It is a big thing to do.
Yeah.
It's a good place to get everybody together. Everybody likes to drink. A lot of people like to drink beer, you know, and they're usually larger open spaces that people can get together at. So yeah,
we need to figure out what brewery to do a meetup at in December. Or maybe a brewery, maybe not.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
And then there was the event that you went to on Saturday, which I had at the lodge and the Oktoberfest, which I had in the back of my mind of maybe I will go to one of these off-road shows and then just drive out there in Charlotte and hang out for the night.
You're crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had like all these things going on.
Okay.
Right. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll figure out what I'm going to do. And then like, just sort of like let the day roll and see what I can do.
Okay.
And then last minute, I got a phone call from one of my best friends, Jimbo, and he's like, dude, I need your help. Like, I have to move my mom tomorrow.
Oh,
like,
no.
I just need hands. I have a few stuff I have to move. We got to get her out of where she's at now, and we have to move her. And I was like, he's like, what are you doing tomorrow? And then I started running through these same things. He's like, oh crap, okay. I'm like, no dude, helping you and your mom takes precedent over a lot of these things, you know, like that has to happen. So thankfully his mom like already packaged a bunch of stuff up, and she didn't really have a lot of stuff, you know, and so we kind of moved some stuff like just around, like moved some things from one location to another, and it was good enough to call it done.
Nice.
You know, and I was done by like noonish.
Nice.
You know, and we didn't start that early.
Yeah.
So I was like,
everything
cool.
You kind of named off is all like afternoon, evening stuff.
Kind of, So the dry diggings show and shine was from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay.
And so, and I was moving things around outside of Cameron Park. And so the dry diggings is down in El Dorado Hills. So I was like, well, on my way home, I'm going to go to Dry Diggings.
Nice.
And so I showed up there, and I was hanging out with a good friend of ours, in a way. And she and I were hanging out, and my buddy Jimbo came down.
Okay.
And we were just walking around, and it was a really cool event. I showed up late, so I didn't get into the raffle. And when I showed up, they were doing the raffle.
Okay.
And there was a few, there was a Morflate in there. I saw somebody, I saw a winner of a Morflate. It was funny when they were describing it. They're like, and a Morflate. And they opened it up. It's a tire inflation thing. And there's a bunch of hoses.
Dang it. I gave them the little like elevator speech.
Oh, really?
Of how to describe it.
Well, they were cranking.
They were cranking.
They had
through.
So many raffle prizes.
Wow.
It was insane.
If there's like, one thing off-roaders love is a raffle, man.
They had like three different color tickets.
Jeez.
I was like, how many? Then they just kept going.
Different
I'm like, okay, is it done? Is it done? I want to go drinking.
Yeah.
Like, is it done? You know, and they kept going and going and going.
Wow.
So I got there for that. So I didn't really get to talk to many people at the event. Like I went to go like, oh, let me shoot some video. And I was like, none of the people are by their rigs. They're all at the raffle. There's this raffle guy talking in the background. So, but I got, there was some really cool Toyotas there.
Nice.
There was hundreds of Jeeps, or there was a ton of Jeeps, a lot of Jeeps. Will, from Metal Cloak was out
oh,
with
nice.
His hybrid Jeep.
Oh, yeah.
They had the...
Wait, his hybrid
Jeep? It's a hybrid.
His JL?
His JL is a four-cylinder turbo hybrid.
It's a hybrid. I didn't realize it was a hybrid.
Uh-huh.
When did he do that? That's not a JL thing. Did he do that?
I think it's a JL thing.
I'm pretty okay.
I don't know. All right. I mean, it's a hybrid. I mean, I looked underneath it, and he has battery packs on one side of the drive shaft and a gas tank on the other side of the drive shaft.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not.
And they're having a hard time trying to fit a Dana 60 in the rear because there's nowhere for it
no
to
space.
Go up. Yeah. It's like it can't compress because it's either going to go into a gas tank or go into batteries.
Interesting. Will, I have questions. Message me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or I'll just stop by and bug you while you're at work trying to work.
Yeah. It's really, and it's clean. He's on 37s. Uh-huh. You know, it's lifted already. It's
it
on stock axles.
It does look really good. I love that color of his JL.
Yeah. It's
so.
Green. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cool. So he was out there. They had the trailer out there, but they had a rig on it, and I didn't notice if they were doing anything during the event. I wasn't there early enough to see if they were doing anything during the event.
They were. One of my buddies who has a Bronco, a 74, I think it is.
Sure.
Put it up on the CTI trailer, and it's all on coils and shocks and four linked everything. And he scored an 840.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, I got an 820 on leaf springs in the 4Runner. You should be able to get a lot better.
I asked Will. I was like, hey, Will, can I put my Tacoma up there? And he's like, oh, we're not really doing it right now. I'm like, oh, it's bone stock. It'll only go like, you know, 8 inches. And he's like, why would you want to do that, dude?
Like, because I can,
it'd be funny. Here's what the Tacoma scored, you know. But yeah, and there was a bunch of Jeeps. There's a bunch of old Broncos. There was a really cool Scout. There was a forward controlled Jeep.
Did you say a Ford controlled Jeep?
Forward controlled Jeep. FC, forward control. Yeah, it's sort of like a cab over engine style thing. It, I don't know if they made a double cab. I know that people have made double cabs, but I think it's just a single cab. And then like a truck bed
and
behind it.
So like you sit over the top
yeah,
of the front
like
axle. You're
like sitting over
in
the
front
axle.
Of the
you're
axle
sitting on top
almost.
Of the tires sort of a
so
thing.
So kind of like a Unimog.
Yeah.
But a Jeep.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're really cool. Okay. They're older vehicles. I know that there was one at SEMA a few years ago that was like neon green and was on tracks. And it was photos were all over the place. But yeah, so one of those was there. It was really clean. It was right next to a Scout with a truck Scout. It looked like a Scout 2. But it was a truck.
Okay.
Might have been a Scout 80. I don't know. It was a smaller one, but I was super clean. And it was right next to a super clean Bronco. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like,
all these old
everybody's down
great.
Here at these rock crawlers, and I'm down here at these like super clean, but they're almost all stock. Those three were stock.
They were literally there for like the car show.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Then there was a really clean, like black and green Tacoma with a four door style.
Oh, that first gen.
Yeah, it
Tacoma.
Was a first gen four door. Okay. And it was like Kidwell Welding or something like that. He's a local guy out here. I was talking to him and he said he bought it. It was a salvaged, totaled, rear end wrecked vehicle.
Really?
And he just took the bed and frame off and then built his own frame out the back and made it sort of a truck bed, truggy style back end. And then he put it on full widths and stuff like that. And
I saw that coming down the freeway as I was driving up the freeway on Sunday.
Maybe.
Or Saturday. Yeah. No, it was Sunday when I was coming home.
Yeah. Well, so, Show and Shine was on Saturday.
It was on Saturday.
I mean, you might have seen him driving around.
Okay.
But yeah. It was clean. What was crazy is he had a full-size 40 underneath the vehicle between like the frame rails.
Between the frame rails?
Yeah.
There's enough, I guess he's built his own frame rails.
He built his own frame
so.
Rails.
Interesting.
Yeah. And,
does it lower down?
No, it went up.
Hold on here for a second.
Yes.
So, the tire, it has a full-size 40 on beadlocks, I would assume?
Yes.
And it comes up out of the bed.
Yeah, he had this whole...
How do you lift that up? I mean, that would be a pain
so
in
the So, on
the
bottom side... Yeah, I know, right? On the bottom side, he had a frame... That like protected the 40.
Okay.
Right. And I was like, well, how do you get it out? He's like, there's like a diamond plate rear hatch that lifts up and leans back. And then it's on an airbag that lifts it up.
Oh, no shit.
Out of the bed.
Wow.
And then he can slide it out.
That's fantastic.
Right?
I need to put that in the Forerunner, man.
Yeah. It was crazy. He's like, I would show you, but the raffle was going on, and to turn on the air compressor, it would be loud, and he was like, I don't want to interrupt that. And I was like, yeah, don't worry. And then he also had air-actuated steps. Whenever you open the door, it would like a one-by-one tube that was bent flat to become a step would come down.
And nice.
Yeah, and he just pulled it down manually, and he's like, and I got these steps on the air also.
One of the FJ40s that I was wheeling with at the Oktoberfest, he had electric-actuated steps.
Yeah.
Cool. From a company, I want to say it was called Linac, L-I-N-A-K.
Okay.
And you just bolt it onto your frame rail and run a 12-volt wire to it and on a switch in the cab.
Wow.
And you hit the switch and the whole step goes and just folds up and down from the frame rail.
And so you control it somewhere?
You control it from inside the cab.
Toggle switch or something?
Yeah, toggle switch.
Nice.
Yeah, like a little rocker switch.
Yeah.
You could probably set that up on a button toggle switch and on-off contact and put it in the doorway, though.
Yeah.
So when the door's closed, it'll come down. And I don't know. I'd have to figure out. When it opens, it would come down.
Yeah.
And when it closes, it comes up.
Right.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would
be. Let's do that. Let's put that on Samantha.
Right. Let's put it on something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that was a super clean rig. He was saying he put a blower on it, but he was having a lean issue when he would just hammer down on the throttle.
I wonder why.
Yeah. And he was like, so people are saying I need a seventh injector and all this stuff. And like, it works fine as if I'm doing a gradual increase in throttle, but if I just want to hammer it, it runs lean.
Okay.
So he was talking about some issues underneath his hood that he was having. He's like, but I'll figure it out, you know, it's an ever going project. I'm like, yeah, when is a, you know, when's a crawler ever finished, you know?
Yeah.
He starts laughing at me, but yeah, it was a super clean rig. There was some really nice Jeeps there, some really nice FJ40s. I got to see B Reynolds' truck, Brian Reynolds.
Oh, nice.
He was there. Him and I were messaging on Instagram.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, I'm by your truck. He's like, I'm at the raffle. I'm like, okay. You know, and I stood around his truck for a while, did some shots and B-roll, looked at it. It's super clean, super nice. Really, it's low. It's got 40s. It's like caged interior. Mm-hmm. It's got the big, a custom-made like tunnel for the drivetrain. It's super clean, super nice.
It is really nice.
I never met him. I've yet to meet him.
I ran into him a couple of times on the trail, too, and he just, like, we just never got out of the rigs to say hi.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and so I want to get him on the channel. I want to get his rig on the channel.
Because
that rig is so cool.
All the work he did, yeah.
Yeah, he's done so much to that
thing. It is super clean, too, the way he did it. So,
It's almost stealthy. It's rad.
Yeah.
And I think he has full widths underneath it, too. And just, it's rad. I got to see his rig, but didn't get to see him. And then there was a Miata on like 33s.
The white one, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, or 31, 33s or something like that.
Something
beefy.
Like that.
And then I know Mike has been talking about this for a long time from
friends
over at the Mike and Max's Off-Road podcast.
Yeah.
That he wants to build an ice cream truck.
Yes.
And there was an ice cream truck on like 33s.
I think it's 33s. It might be 35s.
Yeah.
Somewhere on there.
Mm-hmm. An ice cream truck all built up.
Yeah.
And it was there and had
it. So, fun story about that ice cream truck.
Oh, yeah.
That ice cream truck used to come up to Sierra Trek and serve ice creams to the crowd at Windchill 5.
Oh, nice.
So, it would go up to Meadow Lake, right?
Yeah.
And then drive out to Windchill 5 and serve ice cream to the crowds out there.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was pretty beefy. Uh-huh. I could throw a photo up on my Instagram about that. So,
yeah.
I'll make sure to do that. It was pretty cool. It was a fun event. It was a great turnout.
Nice.
There was
cool.
a lot of people there.
I was a little worried because this is the first time they've ever done it.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen too much.
They didn't do much
advertising for it. So I was really curious if there's going to be a big turnout or not.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. It looks like the raffle was off the chain. It was really good.
Nice.
There was a ton of raffle prizes. That I heard some off-road radio classes also go up.
Yep.
There was a ton of raffle prizes. There was a lot of cool stuff. It was neat. Our friend, Sarah, she won a, canopy.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Like just a 10 by 10 blue one.
Yeah. Pop-up
nice.
Blue one. So that was, she's like, you can't have too many canopies.
That's true.
You know,
we need a snail trail canopy, by the way.
That's true. So, after she won, she was like, well, I don't feel like I need to win again.
Yeah.
So we actually went into Dry Diggins and we started doing some sampling.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was really cool. They have, you can do a few flights. I guess by law, they can only serve you like maybe upwards of three. No, that you get 6 quarter-ounce pours.
Okay.
So whatever that, so two.
In one flight?
One and a half shots total. Right.
For per flight, or that's,
no,
how,
that's
all they can
that's
serve
all
you?
They can serve you.
Really?
Total. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so you can go in and get a shot, you know, and that's a 1 ounce pour, and you can get a total up to 1.5 ounces, but that's all there, because it's hard alcohol.
Oh, it's a distillery.
It's a distillery.
That's, I was thinking it was a brewery. No. I was like, that doesn't sound
Dry
right.
Dry Diggins Distillery.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, so they can only give you 1.5 ounces.
Wow.
And so it was funny, because I ordered a half flight.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to try their aged whiskeys.
Okay.
And I sampled a few. And then I was like, hey, can I get a shot of this? I really want to try. I want to compare this with another one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we can't do that.
Oh, because you had them all?
Yeah. And and I was like, but I only got a half shot. Like, what the heck? You know, or a half flight. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, well, we can give you, we can finish your, we can do a full flight. Right? I only did half. So I could do the other half as that one alcohol. Just that one alcohol. So it would give me 3/4 of a shot. Right? Because I did I did 3 quarter-ounce pours, and they would give me another 3 quarter-ounce pours of that one alcohol.
Interesting.
Yeah, to make up my 1.5.
Yeah.
So I'm allowed to do that. You know, so there's these, as long as I can almost kind of, I don't want to say you could do whatever you want to get up to 1.5 ounces, but it sort of seems like we can
finagle it around
to try to work with the customer.
Yeah.
And to still stay within our rules.
Yeah.
You know, so, so that was pretty neat. And I picked out one alcohol, and then when I did the sampling side to side, I ended up picking out another type of whiskey because of that comparison. So
nice.
I was starting off with going with more of a scotch, and I ended up going with more of a lighter aged whiskey.
Okay.
So, but their stuff there was very good. They had a really good rum, which had shocked me. I don't know why. I just didn't really expect them to have a good rum. It was sort of sweet. It was made with pure California sugar cane.
Okay.
And I was like, where the hell is California sugar cane? Yeah. Like, where do we go that? And I guess it's grown down by San Diego area.
Okay. That makes sense, I guess.
Kind of. In the desert.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun. And I learned more about them. What's funny is I worked up there for so many years and I never went there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, and I've never been there before. And so it was fun to go and finally see the place.
I would really like to go there with Jason and Chris.
I was talking to Jason.
I know nothing about whiskeys. I know nothing about scotches, bourbon, anything.
Yeah.
Bourbons. I know nothing.
I was talking
so I think
to
it'd be really cool
Jason
to go there.
The other day, and I was like, dude, I need to take you out here.
Yeah.
Like, this thing, this is fun.
Uh-huh.
And they have a Rubicon rye.
Okay.
That was pretty good. It's not overly in your face rye.
Okay.
Which is, I'm not a big fan of rye whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's totally tolerable.
Nice.
So it wasn't my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't buy a bottle of it. I ended up buying a bottle of that other, the lighter but aged whiskey. So,
okay.
But it was fun. I had a good time. And so we pretty much
are. Did they have any Fireball there?
I don't know what that is. No, they don't. But you could probably get their vodka and add your own cinnamon.
Add cinnamon to it. Okay. Geez.
So I ended up getting out of there about 3:30-ish, and then I was like, "Well, Truck Mania ends up going until like 7 or 8 o'clock at night."
Okay.
I was like, "I'll just go down there."
Yeah.
And then there's some back roads that kind of cut me straight down there, and so, our friend Sarah, she's like, "You know, that's like a few miles from my house." And I was like,
really?
No, I had no idea. She's like, I'll go hang out with you. I'm like, okay.
Nice.
And so we go down there together and we're hanging out. And I never felt so out of place at a truck event
really?
In my life.
I was wondering about that because everything I've read up on Truck Mania seems to be, I mean, it's a really cool event if you like full-size lifted bro-dozer trucks.
It was crazy.
And it's how, like, I can't imagine. I don't get it. It's like, I don't understand why people buy Jeeps. Like, it's, I don't understand why people take full size trucks, especially diesels, and put massive lifts on them and big tires and everything. I'm like,
yeah.
In my opinion, if you get a diesel, you're getting it for towing stuff.
I swear I saw a vehicle there that was on 37s with 35-inch rims.
What?
Like, these, like, it's so crazy the stuff that you see there. You know, but yeah, why would you buy this big ass diesel vehicle that's made for towing and just mess it up?
Completely ruin it for towing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it, you know, there were ones on airbags and hydraulics and lifted and chromed out and colored and all this craziness.
Interesting. See, and ones I don't get with it. I don't understand it.
Like, insane amount of chipping done to it, you know, and boosting and rolling coal. And like, I don't know how many people I saw, like, there was this like show area of like, just you got to park. If you wanted to pay a little extra, you can go into the show and you could park your rigs next to each other and show up, you know, then the people can walk around and look at the rigs and things like that. You know, people had their hoods lifted and people pulled, like, I saw this big old, like, another vehicle that's like a big F-350 or a Dodge, you know, big vehicle. Right. And it was up, articulated up, all twisted, you know, on one of those plastic things that people would change their oil with that's like 6 inches tall. And I'm like,
oh, that's great.
Really, dude? That's like all that's you, all you, like, have? I'm going to twist my vehicle up. I'm going to put it six inches taller.
It's like when I put the RAV4 up on the curb and flexed it out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, that's all you got, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then, and it was like, but we were walking around, Sarah and I, and there was these, just people would like go into the line and just start roasting their tires, like holding the brakes, into spinning the their tire. Like, well, we were, like in
what line? Like to get into the event?
No, no. Like, we were walking around in the event where the show and tell is.
Okay.
And like, it's a parking lot. So then you have all these rows, right, where people are parked in the parking spots, and then there's the row, like, that you could drive down, and people would go into that row with people around and, you know, just things like that, and then start roasting their tires, like, blowing tar, smoke and everything shreds of tire everywhere, and then start, like, slowly letting off the pedal and starting to get a little squirrely and stuff, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this
there's people
next to you all around you, and you're just, you know, like, people that's somewhat losing control, like catching it, and, you know, and stuff. And like, there's security guys hitting the windows, like, stop it, you know, and just like, then they like drive away as fast as they can, you know, and
to get away from the security.
And now, you're driving fast through these
crowds
and really nice trucks that cost a lot, you know. It's just like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
You know, and I don't want to hate on the event too much, but it was one of the dirtiest events I've been to. Like, trash everywhere.
Really?
It was a, like, don't get me wrong, it was a it was a really neat experience, and like, people are into that. Are, I mean, I'm sure that was like one of the best, like, coolest events around that's for that. You know, obviously
it's not for me. The biggest truck event in like California.
Yeah.
All of California. I know that.
Yeah. It was gnarly. And, but it was, it to me, it seemed a little out of control.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think they were like more struggling to stay in control, you know, than
teetering right on the edge.
Yeah.
Staying in control. Jeez.
I guess they had a top truck challenge before I got there. And a lot of Hunter's four-wheel drive or Hunter's 4x4 was out there, and they were like thrashing their vehicles through this and showing people what they do. When I was driving in, I saw like a Baja racing vehicle driving out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, finally one of my kind, you know, like, and so I hung out with Truck Norris and all these Hunter's 4x4 guys.
Okay.
You know, I was like, these are my friends. Like, these are the people that understand me.
I don't know that other place over there.
And it was hilarious because I was driving in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a bone stock Tacoma.
Did
with
you
like a fancy grill. Like,
did you have the tent on it?
No, I didn't have the roof tent. The roof tent's not on it, no. And, and I was driving in, I was like, man, I am so out of place.
Like, well, I felt out of place when because I went there because we were talking, like, me and Chuck Norris went over there and talked to Diego, the owner, about getting more 4x4s, Overlanders, Rock Crawlers, Rock Landers, stuff like that into the event and kind of build that part of the event a little bit more. And I drove up in my RAV4 with my little baby tires, and there was cars drag racing and a bunch of trucks around. I was like, I feel way out of place.
Yeah. I
can't imagine showing up
to
just a big bro-dozer event.
Yeah, it's... I was talking to Chuck Norris later about it, and he was like, it would be... Like, he's not afraid to try to break the mold on, like, get overlanding there.
Mm-hmm.
It would be an interesting... like collaboration between the two of them.
It's completely, from what it sounds like, it's completely different personalities.
Very different.
Yeah.
though, when Hunter's four-wheel drive, they had like this tiny little like obstacle course sort of thing, like okay. Some big old truck tires and or tractor tires and some cinder blocks or like big, I mean, big like, uh-huh. you know, side of the road. You know, two like by K-rails three K-rail stuff. Okay. Yeah, 2x3 by like 6 feet long blocks, you know, concrete blocks set up, and they're going every which way over this. There was a lot of people stopping and watching and checking it out, you know, because that's not their world.
Yeah.
They're not
they
used to seeing
what's
that.
The, what that's you know? Like, yeah.
And they're like, wow, that's crazy. That's cool. You know, so there, I see there could be a good combo between crawlers and rock crawlers or off-roaders and these big trucks because a lot of us use those types of vehicles to take our vehicles up to the hills.
Yes.
Right? But overlanding, which is what kind of Diego and Chuck Norris were looking at, was that they want these overlanding people there. Well, overlanding are looking at what is my best fuel economy vehicle that I can do for a multi-trip, you know, thing.
What are all the accessories?
What are all these small accessories?
Yeah. Survivor accessories.
What, yeah. Not like what fancy gaudy things can I do to my vehicle?
True.
Right? And things like that. And so I think they could get a good 4x4 presence. But the overlanding world, I don't know if that's a good combo.
Interesting.
Because the overlanders are kind of more like, to me, it was, you know, they're more conservative. Mm-hmm. Not, well, conservative to nature.
Yeah.
Want to go out and enjoy it. And these guys were like, you know, they were doing a sled pull, you know, like these are the guys that are rolling coal, showing as much horsepower as they can. You know, they want to be big and loud and obnoxious, you know, and you know, have train horns and as many lights as possible and all this stuff, you know. And I don't know if those would be a good combo with each other.
I thought it was a little weird that they were, because they were talking about setting up the Top Truck Challenge course. And I was the whole time in my head, I'm thinking, he keeps saying he wants more overlanders here, and he's setting up a Top Truck Challenge course. I'm like, those two things don't mesh. They're not the same thing at all.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. So I kind of thought as well, like, it'd be cool to do some four by four, some crawlers out here, maybe some buggies out here, and do like a little Ultra 4 course.
Right.
That would be super freaking awesome, I think. I think, because that's so much more of the big, loud V8, you know, thrasher vehicle kind of thing, which is kind of what these other guys, the big trucks, are doing with the truck pulls.
And kind of.
Kind of. They're just big, there was loud actually V8.
There was a lot of carnage during the truck pulls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, because they were running four-wheel drive, and they're just hammering their vehicle to try to pull this sled, and they're just going until either the truck breaks, or they can't pull it anymore, or they just start spinning their wheels, right? And a lot of times something in the front would break, you know, something in the drive line or an axle or something, because they just are trying to pull so much weight, you know, and they're trying to do it fast and far, you know. And I've never seen a sled pull before, and that was really interesting.
I've seen tractor pulls. I've never seen like diesel trucks doing a sled pull before.
Yeah.
So
it was kind of interesting. It was fun to watch some of the higher class ones, not like just a stock vehicle go out and do it, you know, because I was like watching this and I'm like, why is that dude in all terrain tires? Like, what's the point? Like, he's not getting any grip anyway. That's why he stopped way back there. You know, but when the vehicles started coming out, there were like no frames and tube chassis and like fiberglass stuff and paddle tires and all this shit. And you're like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like lots of horsepower, headers straight out of the hood, you know, things like that. There was a Jeep at the very beginning that did it. It was like a YJ or something, you know. And it was it had pink all over it.
Nice.
Yeah. It had like pink bumpers, pink roll bar, and stuff like that. Driven by a lady, and she went out there and pulled it. Didn't get very far, like maybe half the course or something like that. You know, 150 feet out of the 300, or maybe farther. I didn't see exactly, but I was just like, heck yeah, girl.
Nice.
Like, like you and your little Jeep going out there and showing what it can do compared to the, you know, vehicles that are five times as much horsepower as you do, and it's three times as long, you know. I think that was pretty cool.
I used to go to, so I grew up in like the ag center of California, the world pretty much. And so fairs were always a big thing, and tractor pulls were always a big thing, right? And so they bring up like John Deere tractors, stuff like that, and do that pull for the first quarter of the time. And then they'd pull out the big machines, the big cars. And these things would have like three V12 engines like stacked together, and it's those are impressive watching and going. So
I was sitting next to a guy watching this, and I kept asking him questions, and he was answering them, and then later he was like, I don't know, man. This is the first time I've ever been to one of these. I'm like, well, how do you know all this other stuff, you know? And, but he was like, I'm just here. He was from Reno Sparks area.
Okay.
He drove his buddy's rig down for him so he could do the truck pull.
Okay.
He drove down in a early 50s truck that had been put onto one of the V12. Now, is it a V12? It was one of the Dodges with the 12 valves. Okay. I don't think those are the V12s. And then it was an early 50s Dodge truck that he put the cab swap on to one of the 12-valve Dodges.
Okay.
And they cut off the back of the cab and made it a dual cab. And it was a dually. And it, like, I was like, oh, I saw that. I was right out front. And that thing was sweet.
Yeah.
And he drove down his buddy's rig, which was an old 60s Chevy pickup on 42s and like gear reduction boxes with or Atlases or something like that. And some big block motor.
Nice.
And he says he pulls it the 300 feet every single time. And he was like a full all out rock crawler guy that likes to go out to Ford Ice and Rubicon. And he's out there with
he understands what torque is.
Yeah, he gets it. And he knows. And I stayed for quite a while waiting for that rig to go, but I just got tired and didn't want to be there anymore and didn't see it. So I
would
off.
Love to see how he does it. Like if he crawls it out or if he just
I bet he uses his horsepower.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a lot of I looked like some people were going down the stretch in four high, and then when things started to get heavy, they would try to shift it to four low.
Without losing momentum.
And a lot of people would just be like, and stop, and then they couldn't go any farther or something. You know, I don't know. I don't understand the theory behind it, but I know a lot of people looked like they just started in four low and first and just tried to give it as much as that had and go. And then there was the big ones that just used their horsepower and tried to fly.
Wow.
But yeah, when I was there, the max speed was 18 miles an hour down that stretch, pulling that thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
How much did the sled weigh, do you know?
No, I don't. And it was, and it was interesting because it was on some tires, a bunch of, like it had the tires in the back and they hooked you up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this count, this weight system that would slide.
As you go further.
As you go farther, the weight would slide farther forward towards the truck.
Which makes the front end dig down into the ground more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And more weight on the rear of the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And then it had tiny little tires up by the, like, the scoop that would come down when the vehicle is done and lift it up, and then the person would drive the sled back to the other end.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's neat. Like, that's a cool piece of machinery right there. That somebody's thought of that instead of like trying to drag this heavy thing back the other way or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, whoa, that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was there for quite a while. Got to hang out with Chuck Norris, got to hang out with the 4x4 guys, got to watch the sled pull, which is cool. I've never seen that before. And then, got to breathe in a lot of coal.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was it was dusty. It was out in the dirt. It was there was a lot of soot and stuff running around. A lot of people screeching their tires. There's more trash than I'd like to admit that there was. And one thing that was funny there. I was walking around out in the showing area, and I come back and there's these people sitting on my tailgate of my truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I had a really good spot, a good lineup for the sled pull.
Okay.
Right? And I like unlock my truck and I start to put stuff in, and they like, oh man, is this your truck? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, sorry. Can we we were just sitting down. I'm like, I don't care, man. You can sit on the tailgate. It's a truck. So go ahead. As long as you don't like beat it up because it's a Toyota, you know? And they're like, oh no, that's fine. And so I walk away. And then I come back, and one of the ladies there was like, my husband didn't believe me that you said it was okay that we sat on your tailgate. I was like, yeah, no, go ahead. It's fine. You know, it's like, as long as you don't hurt the vehicle, I don't care if you sit on a tailgate, it's a truck, you know, whatever. And they're like, cool, man. Thanks. Can we get you anything? I'm like, you got a beer? And they're like, hell yeah, we got a beer. And they're like, you want a Red Vine too? I'm like, okay.
Like licorice?
Yeah.
Licorice. That's funny.
You want a licorice and a beer? Sure. Why not?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that was funny.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I went home for the most... Well, I went back to the assistant's house that evening, and I didn't end up making it to the soccer game, and I didn't make it out to see Zane in town. I didn't... Like, 700 people, I doubt I'd even be able to talk to them, you know, sort of a thing. I don't even know if 700 showed up, you know, but it was just like, man, even if half that showed up, it'd be chaos, you know?
Geez.
All I want to do is shake his hand and say, like, dude, you're hilarious, and then walk away, but, you know, it's like... I don't even know if I'd have that opportunity with all those people.
Huh.
But so it was a full long day. That was just Saturday.
That was just Saturday.
Uh-huh.
What'd you do Sunday?
Nothing.
Nothing. You recuperated?
Yeah, I did yard work. I did work around the house. I did, you know, just honeydews in air quotes, right? Like laundry, got bought food, you know, just adulting. That's a better term for it.
Yeah.
I did basic adulting things. Nice. Video editing, things like that. Yeah.
Nice. Got some stuff ready for the gift boxes that have gone out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yep.
So.
Well, very cool. That sounds like a fun, very full day.
It was a very full day. It was very busy starting off, you know, helping my buddy move his mom to going to watch Diesel's Roll Call. So that was, it was kind of crazy. But yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. I think that, you know, the Show and Shine definitely will be fun to go to. And if they keep it rolling, it would be really rad. I think they had such a great turnout. I doubt they wouldn't do it again next year. And if you're in the area, you know, definitely come out. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Truck Mania and how they're going to combine those things, if they are or whatnot. We can definitely talk to Truck Norris. Actually, we might be getting him on the show here soon.
Oh, nice.
He said yay. And gave us a thumbs up about coming on the show and talking about some things that we'll discuss in the future. And besides that, I think we might have a listener question.
We have a couple.
Yeah.
So yeah, we can get into those. Let's see. Let me pull them up. I was getting all, you know, settled in, letting you take over the episode there.
I think that was the most I've ever spoken.
It was kind of nice just to sit back and relax.
Tell me about it.
Let's do one radio question and then one vehicle question.
Sure.
So, the radio question.
Okay,
so,
I'm ready.
This is from TJ Mitchell Films on Instagram.
Okay.
So I didn't get a name or anything. He just sent me a message and I gave him a big long explanation, which is kind of hard to explain over typing on Instagram messages.
Yeah.
So he goes, he said, "Hey, Tyler, I'm looking to get a handheld radio for trail communications. I know next to nothing about radios. My groups usually use CB, but I'm interested in getting my ham license down the road. All that being said, is there a decent handheld out there that can do CB and ham that does not break the bank? Enjoying the podcast, by the way. I have never owned a Toyota, but I did have a Suzuki Samurai on Suzuki Samurai one-ton axles, Toyota axles, that I cut in half and stretched 20 inches.
Wow.
Currently building a Jeep Gladiator. Don't hate me, please. LOL. I still love Toyotas."
No hate.
Hating. I'm hating. I don't understand Jeeps. Anyways, no, I'm just kidding.
What you should do is you should put the Gladiator on Toyota axles.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Be way too heavy for Toyota axles.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I know we've touched on it before, but I don't know if we touched on why it is before. There is no radios that can do both CB and ham.
Right.
Especially handhelds. There's a couple limiting factors. The first reason is the antenna systems are very, very different. You need a minimum length of 102 inches or 8.5 feet to run a CB antenna. Ham, the off-roading frequencies that most people use for ham, you need 19.5 inches antennas. Or you can, if you're doing the 70 centimeters, the 440 frequencies, you can do essentially a 6.5 inch antenna. So your antennas are just so far apart that you can't do both CB and ham in one system. The other big limiting factor is CB runs on amplitude modulation, so AM. And the ham that we use for off-roading, the ham frequencies we use for off-roading, runs on frequency modulation, FM. So then there's your AM and FM in your car. Think of that going down the road. It's two different types of radios. So you can't run both AM and FM usually on the same radio. So those are the reasons why you cannot do CB and ham in one radio.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Also, isn't it illegal to... Well, is it illegal for a ham radio wattage-wise to transmit on a CB frequency?
It would be. I mean, because CB is limited to 4 watts of power, analog, 12 watts sideband, but nobody uses sideband anymore. So it might as well just be 4 watts of power.
Right.
You can, you know, detune a ham radio to run at 4 watts of power. The power issue is not really an issue.
The antenna.
It's the antenna and the modulation of the signal, the way the signal is modulated.
Can you run 2 antennas on a radio?
You can, but then you're looking at running a duplexers and setting up duplexes, and you can do that. It just becomes complicated.
Right.
And then you run into the issue of FCC type certifications.
Oh, got it.
So, you know, you're not supposed to use a ham radio on FRS frequencies and vice versa. You're not supposed to use an FRS radio on ham frequencies. And CB's radios need to be used for CB, and ham radio needs to be used on ham radios, and FRS needs to be used on ham, all that good stuff. So there's also that limiting factor with the FCC type certifications on radios.
Sure. So, got it. Yeah, I think the easy answer is no.
The easy answer is no.
There's no ham radio or CB radio that can used on the opposite radio frequencies for the most part. You can't use a ham on CB, and you can't use a CB on ham.
Correct. There used to be a radio that you could do that with, and I had one at one point, but it didn't work very well.
Mm.
So
Yeah. And especially no handhelds. I mean, you can type frequencies into, you know, some of our other ones, but you still...
I don't think the Baofeng handhelds even go down that far in frequency.
Oh, really?
Because CBs run at 27 megahertz, and the Baofeng handhelds run at 144, 140, 150, 140 to 150, and 440 to 470, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
So... also, the frequency is just too far apart. The transmitters are not designed to go down that low in frequency.
So, I know that there's a really neat CB radio. Mm-hmm. I actually have one. I was going to put it into Bobcat before I started looking at this ham side of
things. Oh, yeah.
It's a Cobra 75 WXST. It's a super small, compact CB radio.
Very small, compact.
That's all in the handheld section. Mm-hmm. And then it's sort of like, at least my ham radio that I got, that's got a separate box that you can tuck away and hide. So if you're going to go with 2 radios, I would look into getting that one for your CB version, because it's simple, small. It's all a lot of it's in the hand and the little mic setup. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have a big box hanging out like a lot of the other CBs. You are going to have to completely set up a whole CB system. And then maybe if you're getting the handheld, you know, you can run that separately for the vehicle, but you still, if you're doing a handheld and you're in your vehicle, you're going to want an external antenna regardless.
Yeah, 100%.
So.
Cool. So that's that question. Mm-hmm. Hope that helps. Hope that answers your question there, bud. Mr. TJ Mitchell Films.
Thanks, TJ.
So I'm going to give you an option.
B.
B? Okay. No, do you want the option, or do you want to go with B?
I'll go with B.
Okay. So this is Ian.
Hi, Ian.
Hi, Ian. He says, "Shit, man, I forgot to send this to you." Don't know if the Snail Trail shop is in Sacramento County or not, but looks like I'll be keeping my garage door closed when working on my vehicles now. So apparently he lives in Sacramento County.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a link to the code enforcement for Sac County about tools and what tools you're allowed to be running at your home garage.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, "Have you heard about this? ? Thanks, Ian."
Yeah. So, I think he's referring to like the Shade Tree garage mechanic thing that's going on.
Yep.
I don't know too much about it.
So I've actually asked a couple of Leo's law enforcement officers about it. And so the way that the law is written, it's very, very vague, but it's essentially... it's there to try and stop people from running a mechanic service out of their homes and try and run illegal chop shops or illegal mechanic services out of their homes. And what it is the law is written so vaguely. All it says is you're not allowed to have uncommon tools, quote unquote,
sure.
uncommon tools
okay.
at a residential parcel.
Location, yeah.
A residential property.
So what are uncommon tools?
They don't define it.
Sure. Okay.
They refuse to define it. And what this has been going around now and kind of been brought into the limelight recently.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this law is extremely old.
Oh,
it's
really?
Been around since like the 50s or 60s or something.
Oh, wow.
But a news reporter found it recently and was like, what? That's a stupid law. It's not even defined right. And they brought it into the limelight. And now yeah. everybody's kind of, it's going viral,
up
right?
About it. Yeah.
So this has been around for a while. I've talked to a couple law enforcement officers about it. And they said that, yes, it is a law.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can get ticketed for an uncommon tool. And I was like, well, how do you define what a common tool is?
Sure.
And they said, pretty much, it's one of those laws that are designed to give enforcement officers access to a property
mm-hmm.
in order to investigate bigger problems.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
If you're running a chop shop at your house, an illegal chop shop at your house, that's what it's meant for. He said they most 99% of cops out there are not going to, you know, get you for having a welder in your house. They're not going to get you for running quote unquote uncommon tools, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
It's purposefully defined vague so that they can
do what they want.
Cut down on chop shops, essentially.
Sure. Yeah. I've known a little bit about it, and mm-hmm. I'm not in Placer County, or I'm in Placer County. I'm not in Sacramento County. And we're much more rural out here. And so mm-hmm. When I've sort of read up on this and looked at it a little bit, you know, I was like, uncommon tools. I'm like, I have a very good argument of why a welder out here in the country might
it's
be
a very common
tool,
yeah.
you know, and things of that nature. And I haven't been too worried about it. And I actually have on my property is my shop and most of my electricity and water and things go to the shop first and then move to my house.
Oh, interesting.
And I get a weird break in my taxes this way
uh-huh.
because I'm deemed as a agricultural piece of property
oh.
because
yeah.
it does that
uh-huh.
for some odd reason. I'm not
okay.
entirely sure. And so like I'm technically an ag property,
yeah.
so like you now I have even more reason why
to
have a welder
yeah.
and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too worried about it. I mean, I'm always concerned about my shop being open and people passing by and things of that nature, you know, and my own property being exposed, you know, and things of that way. But yeah, I wasn't too when I heard about this, I wasn't too worried about it because mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not. You know, like I work on my own vehicles and I work on a few friends and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't do a lot of flipping of vehicles and
yeah.
things of that nature. And I don't charge for any of the work for the most part that I do because I looked into a lot of that.
You charged me $450 the other day.
Yeah. I looked into it with, you know, charging for anything, then somebody could get me for being a business along those lines of a mm-hmm. mechanic, and I'm not. And
yeah.
so, you know, even accepting like people bringing a beer over while I work on their vehicle is a form, they
of
see
payment,
it as
yeah.
a form of payment. And, you know, so I can't even accept any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the reasons that I don't work on other people's rigs and I don't have people over to, you know, like, oh, hey, you need your front end rebuilt? Like, come on over. Like,
yeah.
I'll charge you a few $100 to do it. You know,
yeah.
I don't do those things. My videos then things that I do are for the business of, you know, of the media
mm-hmm.
and it's, I don't, you know, I'm only working on a select vehicles.
Yeah.
So I'm not out there to, I'm not a shade tree mechanic on, in that aspect.
Yeah.
You know, so I, for the most part, I haven't been worried about anything.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. It's kind of like the law of you're not supposed to have anything hanging from your rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
No one's really going to pull you over
sure.
for it. I mean, they'll pull
yeah.
you over for that, but really they're trying to get to something else.
Right. Or how about stickers
thing?
In your back window and
yeah.
the passenger side are supposed to be in a 5x5 in the lower corner and
yeah.
on the driver's side are in the 7x7 in the lower
uh-huh.
corner and you can't
yeah.
have stickers anywhere else on your vehicle
yeah.
or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
yeah.
They're going to use it to try and get to something else, essentially. So,
I mean, I was talking about this the other day on the, what was it, on a week ago's podcast, I think, that I would get pulled over all the time for not having lights on my license plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they would pull me over for that. And then they would inquire about other things.
Yes.
But they pulled me over because I didn't have lights on my license plate. And then they were looking for something else to
get
me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of that comes down to, you know, just don't give them a reason.
Yep.
And, you know, just be careful. And, you know, just, you know, I would play by the rules as much as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, just cover CYA.
Yeah. Yeah, CYA. So. Speaking of fun terminologies, I learned a couple of new ones last weekend that you just reminded me.
Oh, yeah?
So, the first one, no, not lockers. I've known that one for a while. But I did use that symbol quite a bit last weekend.
whenever you were
whenever I was
trying
spotting
to direct Jason. Yeah.
No, the, what was it? TDBH. TDBH.
Hmm.
It's trunk diameter at breast height. So what is the diameter of a tree, right?
Yeah.
So the tree trunk diameter at breast height. So TDBH.
Okay.
Another one was that I learned, not this last weekend, but before, and I keep meaning to bring it up. It's suck, spark, bang, blow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. So
the cycle of an engine.
Yep. Four cycle engine. So engines will, the piston will come down, suck air in, go back up, and it compresses and gives a spark.
Yep.
And then it comes back down again. Says bang.
Bangs.
That's the explosion of the spark plug.
Yep.
And then it goes back up again and blows the exhaust out. So suck, spark, bang, blow.
Yep.
So cool. With that, we're going to wrap up this episode. You can reach Jimmy over at... Jimmy, where can we reach you?
You can write me on email with jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com, or you can hit me up on Instagram at snailtrail4x4.
And what's your match.com username?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
I don't remember. I was on it.
Oh, really?
Back in the day.
I was just joking.
I think I've been on almost every one out there. I even checked out with the Farmers Only. And there was no girls on there.
Oh, really? Did you go to Christian Mingle too?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to even...
Plenty of Fish.
I did go. I was on Plenty of Fish when it started.
Okay.
Before it became crazy. Yeah, I did Plenty of Fish. I did OK Cupid. I did eHarmony, Match, Bumble, Farmers Only. I actually met the assistant on Bumble.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
And it's been working so far. So.
Good job, Bumble.
Yeah.
Cool. So you guys can find me at 4x4 Toyota Tyler on Instagram and through email at tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. And I can answer your radio questions. And we haven't done a whole lot of radio content lately, but we'll get back to it. We have a couple other topics that we want to get through first. But yeah, you can get rid of me. You can get rid of me there.
Finally, some way.
Nope. You're not getting rid of me.
Dang it.
You can get in touch with me through those channels. And I think that's it. So any final words for all of our peeps?
LEDs.
Okay. With that, my friends, keep crawling.
You probably know this one, though.
Okay. I'm ready.
Why didn't the skeleton cross the road?
Because he didn't have the guts.
Yep.
You've used this one already.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. All right. Let me get it.
Try again.
What is the most important subject a witch learns in school?
I don't know.
Spelling.
Oh. Okay.